We are joined now here in the studio by Susan Brown, the director of Chapel Hill Public Library, now a 2014 UNC School of Information and Library Science Distinguished Alumna. Congratulations.
Thank you. I didn't know you were going to do that. Thank you.
That's why I had to run into the newsroom to grab the press release.
Yes, thank you.
So congratulations.
They can't see me blushing, and nor could they see you dancing during that intro.
That's
that
true.
Intro
I do.
Which you can't see on the radio.
It's
me blushing
really
or you dancing.
It's really catchy intro music. Yeah.
Yes. So thank you, though.
If we only had cameras in here, we could capture a lot more. Cool. So a lot going on at the library. Before we start with our book recommendations, and I'm really hoping this is going to be a great conversation because it's already been a wild day on the air today. We just had a screech owl in here, and what do we have? We had 17 journalists from Afghanistan who were here during the 3 o'clock hour observing. You didn't hear them on the air.
I was going to say I missed
the
that.
The room was full of journalists who were here observing. So that was really cool, and it all culminates now. So you've got a lot to live up to.
So I will say I may have been testing this, I just might have been speeding.
Yes.
On the way over here to see the owl. I love woodland creatures. I love
it
owls.
Really was
and when
an
I heard you talking,
owl.
And then I missed the owl.
Yeah.
I missed the owl.
I'm sorry. But the gala auction, I'm going to be emceeing, so there's going to be other adorable woodland creatures as well. They got big owls and small owls and medium-sized owls and other birds as well.
Which actually makes me think of one of my all-time, because I see how we do this. You talk about anything, and I'll come up with the book.
And then we can segue into books, yeah.
My boys are now almost 10, which she tells me every day, Mom, I'm not 9, I'm almost 10.
Yeah.
And 6, just plain old 6.
Okay.
But one of my favorite
picture
books.
When I turned 10,
books.
My grandpa referred to me as old double digits for like 6 months afterwards.
And did you say grandpa?
Did
you call him Grandpa?
Purpose,
okay.
No,
I didn't know
Grandpa.
That
might have just been, I might have just been rushing through the sentence.
Okay. Gotcha. So anywhoozle, talking about books again.
Yes. So
owl
your kids are almost 7
yes.
and 6. Yeah.
So they have reached that point where they will sit for a picture book still, but you know, you're getting that nostalgic time period where picture books aren't really in their wheelhouse anymore. And so owl babies, for all the folks out there with kids or grandkids that are still sitting for picture books in your lap, owl babies is like in my top 3 all-time favorite picture books that I read with my kids.
Cool. So what is it? Is it just owl?
It's a little terrifying, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's
are they
there's,
illustrations or are they actual pictures?
It's illustrations.
Okay.
And I'm the baby of 3, so it resonates with me. There are 3 baby owls and their mom leaves them. And they don't know why. And of course, so the older, and it really tracks with birth order pretty well. And, you know, my experience. So the older one says, everything's fine. And the middle one's like, I'm not scared. And then the baby of the family, me, is like, I'm terrified. Where's mom? And it goes through. And in the end, of course, mom comes back because she was out getting them,
getting
you know,
food, yeah.
other small woodland other creatures to feed them.
Yeah.
But it is a lovely book. Now, of course, my kids are much more into things like Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Yes.
Which the new book is out this week.
Yes.
And that's all anybody's talking about.
How many Diary of a Wimpy Kid books are there? Do you?
I don't know. I haven't read this one yet, but they say it's one of the best ones.
Okay.
This one, the Heffley family goes on a road trip.
Nice.
But it's just out on Tuesday, and we got like, you know, a gazillion of them in at the library. But they've all got holds on them, so they don't actually go out on the shelf.
That's awesome.
Straight in the kids' hands.
So tell me, I try to get into, or I try to at least pick up and flip through all of the sort of the great young adult series. Mm-hmm. This is how I really got obsessed with Harry Potter, because I was in Barnes & Noble one day, and I was like, I'll just pick this book up and just read the first page.
This
and just
young
see
Harry Potter fellow.
How this
Who is
goes.
This?
And I was instantly hooked, and I did the same thing with Hunger Games. I've not done it with Twilight yet.
Don't go there. Don't do it.
I actually did. I picked it up and I read the first page and then I put it back. But Diary of a Wimpy Kid I haven't read. So does the family age over the course of the series, or do they say? Is it a Simpsons family or is it a Quimby
family? It's Simpsons-esque. I haven't read the last couple, but I think Greg throughout is sort of just in that middle school
in
range.
Middle school,
like he might age a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, I think you would love them. They are funny.
I know they're funny. Yeah.
They are definitely books. They're so true to that age, mm-hmm. That when my husband and I read them with our kids, like, we're laughing. The yeah. humor totally resonates. And there are some books when you read with your kids, and it's like, oh, shoot me now. Do I have to really do this? And those are really, really funny.
Yeah. Awesome.
So definitely, yeah. And I would say you could jump in anywhere, but I would say start with the first one to just go there,
and then,
you can go anywhere.
All right, awesome. So we're talking about books, and we don't really have a specific topic. So we're just talking about what we've been reading recently.
That's right.
You've been reading, or you're about to start reading, I guess, Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Yes.
Volume.
Once I can wrench it from my children's
yes.
hands.
Well, you're the director of the library, so you
doesn't mean a thing. I can't get. I got no
pull. Put a hold on one of the books that one of the many books, or did they?
Yeah, that's
did the community
now that
get
would
to
be great PR.
Did.
Library uh-huh. director gets first on hold list, so like young 8-year-old children with tears streaming down their eyes can't
well,
get the book.
They don't know. They don't. You know, you could tell them there's 19 copies when in fact there
right.
are 20, and then like in a week be like, oh look, we discovered another copy.
I bought
there
one.
You go.
I
yeah,
donated
just for
one.
You, little Billy. Or not? I don't know. This is it's your will or your well, I was gonna make a joke and now I can't think of the word willpower. That's it. Your
yes.
willpower that has earned you the Distinguished Alumna
Can
Award.
I, oh, so. Stop it! Can I just say when you say things like that, I just think of with great power comes
great
responsibility.
Yes.
Right? I
yeah.
don't want to jump the line in the
you
holds.
Could
I would
very
never do that.
You could easily do that, but you won't.
No.
That's good to know.
Would not be. That would be conduct unbecoming of
yes.
a distinguished alum.
Absolutely. Okay, so what have you been reading recently?
So yeah. what I've been reading recently, I'm going to do a couple plugs here in mind.
Yeah.
The theme is talking about our friends group, actually, in a certain way. So our friends group is awesome. And I will just say, coming up the first weekend of December, it's their big book sale. They have three per year. This is the biggest one ever.
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy huge.
Wow.
So mark your calendars.
Previous ones have spread out into multiple rooms
oh, yeah.
and everything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they keep getting bigger and bigger. And
yeah.
this one's going to be huge. But I love to go in the sorting room, and people bring us books all day long. So if you're looking to get rid of some books, if you're cleaning house, you can bring them to us. And we have a great friends group. But I was in there one day. And
we read a children's book called The Sorting Room about... they're putting together books for a book sale, and then they discover
yeah.
like
a portal
into another world. Yeah,
let's
exactly.
Let's do it.
We should.
We could leave the radio world.
We had exactly
the
same idea at the same time, right? Yeah.
So I'm in the friend sorting room recently, getting ready for the big book sale first week of December.
Mm-hmm.
Mark your calendars. And this book was sitting there, and it had a packet of soy sauce on the cover of it, like a picture. The cover image was a packet of soy sauce.
Right.
And it's called The Fortune Cookie Chronicles, Adventures in the World of Chinese Food.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked it up, and that's my downstairs book. In my house, I have upstairs books and downstairs books.
Okay.
Because if I'm downstairs and I want to read, I'm sometimes too lazy to walk upstairs.
Of
so
course.
I keep a downstairs, usually nonfiction, read around in essays.
Okay.
And this has been my downstairs book, and it's fabulous.
Cool.
It is not just food writing. It's not just cultural history. It's both together through exploring Chinese food in America.
Is it an anthology?
It is. It's
okay.
a series of essays. And the first one is sometime in the 2000s, there was this weird thing with the Powerball.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like 28 national second place like runner-ups,
right.
which never happened. So
yeah.
they're thinking the fix is in, somebody's cheating. They traced it to lotto numbers on fortune cookies.
Oh, interesting.
So that's the first essay. But then it just goes into everything from the cultural history of General Tso's chicken to... where Jewish culture and Chinese food intersect, and it's just fabulous. She's a great writer. Her name is Jennifer Lee, and I just found it in the friend sorting room, and I have just been loving every page of it.
I want to read the essay on Jewish culture and Chinese food, because that is a thing, and I've always been
it's
curious
really
about
good.
That. Yeah, that's
it's
awesome.
It's really good. So that is The Fortune Cookie Chronicles.
Awesome.
And
all
once
right.
I finish it, I'll just bring it back, and you can buy it at the friend's sale.
I was going to say, yeah, this is the like, take it and read it,
that's
but
right.
it's not even going to be, there's the friend sale, you've got a couple of weeks until the friend
yes.
sale, so
yes.
you have plenty of
time. I got time.
All right, so ordinarily, especially in the last couple of weeks, my recommendations have all been, leading towards the nonfiction more than the fiction. But in terms of stuff that I've read recently, I've been reading a lot of fiction books because I have been, and we've talked about this on the air, I've had this ongoing project all year long of going through all of the books that I've managed to accumulate over the course of my adult life, and of which there are now there were two bookshelves worth, and then like not even the two bookshelves weren't holding them all. So I had piles of books here and there. I was like, okay, I want to get all of my books down. I want to pare my collection down to a point where it can fit on these two bookshelves. Very, very close. But it's taken me a year, and I've gotten rid of dozens over the course of the year. But I've got one shelf that is reserved for novels. Usually I read something and then I'm done with it. I don't need to read it again. But I've got one shelf that's full of novels, fiction literature, that I read and I love it so much that I want to keep and reread again. And the most recent addition to this collection is Milan Kundera, The Unbearable Lightness of
that's
Being.
A great book.
So good. So smart. And still timely. Like it's about a Czech writer during the Cold War, so sort of escaping Czech, or actually during 1968, during the Prague uprising and then the Soviet crackdown, escaping that and then making the decision to return, and what that means for his life and what that choice means in general and what it doesn't mean. And it's just it's a fascinating read.
So that's really interesting because
my grad school roommate Josh, who is a comparative literature major and therefore knows everything about literature, gave me that book when I was in grad school, and then I hung on to it for 6 years and finally read it.
And then you finally
year.
Read it.
Yep, really
and
good.
Now it's on the keeper shelf.
And now it's on the keeper shelf.
I love
yep.
it.
Yeah. He also recommended Gravity's Rainbow, which is not on the keeper
Ooh,
shelf.
Ooh, I'm glad
but,
to hear that.
Yeah, no.
Had you put that on the keeper shelf,
no.
I probably couldn't have kept coming on this show.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
No, seriously.
You've got to
like,
be a certain
that's a fundamental
kind of person.
Line,
yeah,
right.
No, I'm with you on that.
So there are so many fabulous Czech writers. I actually did my last semester of graduate school in Prague with an exchange
wow.
with Charles University, and
oh,
I was
awesome.
Introduced to so many great mm-hmm. Czech writers. So maybe that'll be our prompt sometime.
Okay, yeah.
Underread Czech writers.
I can talk about...
I can hear the numbers going up now.
ratings through the roof.
That's
we
right.
had Kristen Smith on
That's
talking
right.
about the Rural Buffer, and now we're talking about Czech writers. We did have an owl. We did, and then in between, we had screech owl calls.
Right.
This is like through the roof ratings.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So,
sorry, Kristen, it was a fun conversation.
I'm actually interested in the Rural Buffer.
Yeah.
I think that's fascinating.
No, it was a fun conversation. It was really interesting. But we were joking about like, oh, we don't want to be wonky on the air and talk about like intricate details of local politics. And then like in the same sense, and speaking of the Rural Buffer,
right.
like, as wonky as it gets, but as long as it's a fun conversation, that's all that matters. Okay, so...
Okay.
So next recommendation.
Next.
Yes.
So the next one is, again, because I'm just like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to read this. I started it, and then I gave it to someone else, and now there's a pretty lengthy holds list for it, which I can't jump the
you
line
can't
on,
jump the line, right.
is My Accidental Jihad by Krista Bremer. Mm-hmm. She, I believe, lives in Carrboro,
mm-hmm.
But she is coming to the library next, no, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
I feel like I've heard.
For Meet the
yes.
Author.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For
That's
the Meet
where
the
I
Author
heard it.
Tea
yeah.
tomorrow. 3:30 is Cookies and Coffee and Tea. And 4 o'clock, you can hear Krista. It's a really great memoir. It's a She's an essayist. And she's sort of this Southern California beach bum mm-hmm. and going to do her thing. And she meets a older gentleman from Libya. And they get to know each other. She finds herself pregnant and she's facing a choice of, do I have this baby and he's offered to marry me, or do mm-hmm. I not have this baby? And she chooses to marry him. And then it's a really interesting, again, that where the fortune cookie book was a sort of cultural history. This is examining modern different cultures and how they come together in a marriage and what you learn about yourself and your own culture and your spouse. As I said, I've read around in it. I was hoping mm-hmm. to read it all before she comes. I think it's, if you liked like Eat, Pray, Love,
mm-hmm.
it's that type of a book.
Okay.
And she's lovely. I met her briefly recently. So she's going to be, again, sponsored by our friends group tomorrow.
Cool.
At 3:30 for the cookies, which is good.
Right. Right.
And 4 o'clock to hear Krista.
All right. Awesome. So that reminds me of another book it's not on my recommendations list necessarily, but it was a really good book I read it this year, Reading Lolita in Tehran.
Oh, that's a great
by
book.
By S.R. Nafisi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which probably not the same sort of feel of that book as you get from Accidental Jihad, but that's also a good book to read.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. So recommendation number two, and I have to give a shout out to WCHL owner Jim Hevner for this one, because every year Jim will give Christmas presents out to out to the staff, and usually it's a book. In fact, I think in my experience, it has been a book for the last couple of years. And I let this one sit on the shelf for a couple of years, but I just broke it out and read it a month or two ago, and I was hooked by it immediately. And since we had Pauper Players in earlier talking about Carrie the Musical, which is a Stephen King novel turned into a musical, Stephen King 11/22/63.
You know who loves that book?
You?
I have not read it. Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh,
well, he should. It's
he
a really good book.
He was raving about that book to
it's
me recently.
So good, yeah.
And then I had to go put a hold on it. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no, it's a really, really good book. And Stephen King is just an amazing writer. Like, I think for the longest time, he had this reputation for being genre fiction, and now he just writes horror novels. But A, the horror novels are really good. B, he has such a wider range than this. And this is historical fiction. It's science fiction-y, there's time travel, and it's still got that Stephen King kind of tension and uncanniness and something is amiss and you're fighting the sort of supernatural element. So there is the horror element as well, but it's just such a great
novel. The main character travels back and he ends up just before JFK's assassination?
Yeah, he discovers a portal to the past, right. Basically, or a friend of his does. And this guy goes through the portal to, I think he winds up in 19, it takes me back to 1950. And the two of them are sort of consolidate with each other or collaborate with each other and say, okay, we're going to go back to 1958 and we're just going to live there for 5 years and we're going to stop JFK's assassination, right. Because they've concluded that JFK's assassination is sort of the cause of all of the wrong that's happened. Like Vietnam comes out of this and racial tension and everything that you can imagine bad in post the last 50 years can be traced back to JFK. So go back to 1963, stop the assassination, and all will be well. And then it's just – but the past doesn't want to be changed. So right. So the past is conspiring against him at the same time. And meanwhile, he goes there and he falls in love with someone that he meets. So there's that. And he's living this double life. It's great. It's great.
So the mayor's on here regularly, too, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's on tomorrow.
Ask him about that book.
Okay. Yeah. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. It's a long book.
It's
it
on
takes
my list,
a while. Yeah.
Yeah. But, a lot of his books are.
But it's worth it.
Okay, so back to me again.
Yes, yes.
So
I've only
got one
more recommendation. Okay. So, yeah.
I talked about next week's Meet the Author Tea, the December Meet the Author Tea. We just got this
confirmed.
Is it
next week or is it tomorrow?
Sorry, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Is November's.
Yep.
And I believe this is for December. I can fact check this, but I'm pretty sure this is confirmed for December. It's an author named Charlie Lovett. And his first book was called The Bookman's Tale. And his new book is called It Just Left Me. Oh my gosh. Can you Google Charlie Lovett?
That's a good title for a book. But.
Anyways, what I love about him, so he sort of combines these are novels, the antiquarian book trade with a little bit of romance and then dead authors and intrigue about them. So his first book features an antiquarian bookseller.
Bookman's Tale? Is that the
That's the first
that's,
one.
Okay.
I need his
that's
new
most,
one.
That's the most recent one I'm
no,
seeing.
No, he's got a new one.
Okay, hang on a second.
If only you knew a librarian who could do research on the internet, Aaron.
First impressions.
There we go. Thank you. Yep. That's it. Sorry. Okay. So.
Amazon, everybody.
Restart, right? So in his first book, The Bookman's Tale, it is an antiquarian bookseller from North Carolina moves to the English countryside, and he's sort of leaving behind his life. And he falls into this story about there's romance, there's Shakespearean forgeries, and it's sort of one of these things that, again, gets at the sort of, you can get kind of geeky and learn something about the antiquarian book trade. Mm. There's also some romance, and then there's always this intrigue. So in that one, it's about the Shakespeare's true identity.
Awesome.
So his new book kind of does the same thing, but it doesn't really bother me that it's sort of the same book because he's a great writer. Mm-hmm. And this one is the antiquarian book trade and a little bit of romance. Uh-huh. And then my two favorite words, Jane Austen.
Yes.
So if you like Jane Austen, if you love Jane Austen, this book is fabulous. And it's the same kind of thing. This one is the the main character takes a job at a bookstore in London, and two customers at the same time request like this completely obscure book, and that opens the sort of door to the rabbit hole of talking about Jane Austen and whether or not she really wrote Pride and Prejudice.
Okay,
and they're fabulous, and he lives in, I believe, Greensboro. Coming in December. So if you like historical fiction or books about books.
I like it.
Or Jane Austen.
And P.S., if you like books about books and Jane Austen, this isn't necessarily on my recommendation list, but reading Lolita in Tehran by S.R. Nafisi has
bringing
a whole chapter
back.
On Jane Austen.
That's right. That's
the overarching theme is go check out Reading Lolita in Tehran. Okay, my last recommendation, I just finished this book. This is another one that's been sitting on my shelf for years. I went to Rutgers for graduate school, and at Rutgers all the way through 2008, and then I moved down here. And because I was at Rutgers, because I'm kind of a geek, and all of my friends are even geekier than I am, I've had The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde by Junot Diaz recommended to me repeatedly, and I've had it on my shelf forever. I think I might have bought it at a friend's sale, actually, come to think of it. And I finally picked it up and read it, and oh my God, it's good. I've already lent it to one of my friends, and he's reading it right now, and he's loving it even more than me. But it is an amazing... It's Faulknerian. It's this saga of it's a saga of an immigrant family, and it's told over the course of multiple decades, and every single chapter is from a different perspective of a different member of the family. So it's kind of like got a Sound and the Fury vibe, or someone else said As I Lay Dying. So sort of that kind of feel. But it's such a great story, and it works in it's about a Dominican family, so it works in Dominican history and geekdom and New Jersey. If you have ever spent any time in New Jersey, you will understand everything, all of these references. He's talking about being at Rutgers and riding the double E bus from one campus to the other, and it's like, there is nothing literary about that bus. I've been on that bus. But he makes it great.
It's Geeks in Jersey.
Geeks in
you
Jersey.
You sold me, man. Yep. I'm there. No, that's actually a book that has been so critically acclaimed. It's been on all of these lists. I'm kind of like you. People recommend it to me all the time.
Yeah.
But I think what you're talking about, too, is it goes to show that you have to be in the mood for the book, right? So
yes.
I think that's the biggest thing that drives reading for me is I might love a book right now, but 2 weeks later, I'm like, I'm not in the mood for that.
Yeah,
so,
you got to hit it at exactly the right time. Yeah. That's why I'm glad I let 11/22/63 sit on the shelves as long as it did, because I think I picked it up at exactly the right time.
That's great.
Yeah. All right. We've got to wrap up. One more quick recommendation?
Okay, the other perk, I can't get early holds, but I do get galleys in the mail from publishers before books come out. The one I'm working on right now is called The Battle of Versailles. It's nonfiction.
Okay.
About fashion and the turn of the tables from French fashion being the world standard to American fashion chipping away. And there was this epic fashion show at the Palace of Versailles in the early 70s with unknown designers like Bill Blass and Oscar de la Renta.
Nice.
It is so good. I love nonfiction that takes one moment and builds this whole story around it. It's really good. It's coming out next year, but that's like my cool thing. Like, oh yeah, I read that book when it was a galley.
I got it in the mail.
It was
unsolicited. It was awesome.
I know, it's cool.
All right, Chapel Hill Public Library Director and UNC Distinguished Alumna Susan Brown. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.